we have seen various emotions that God has created us with. The first we looked at was anger, second compassion, then grief, fourth love, following that hate, and then we concluded the end of last week with the sixth emotion, that is of jealousy. Now, these are emotions that God has created us with, but you remember we are created in the image of God. And therefore, we have been focusing on God's emotions. And we have looked in scriptures and found scriptures that identify God as having each of these six emotions that I named. If this is your first time listening, either on the website or via the live streaming on Facebook, you can go to previous Wednesday night messages and find what was said and taught there. Tonight, we're going to look at two more, only two left. And I know what you may be thinking, wow, just two, this will be short. Now, you know better than to think that. The two emotions we're going to look at tonight are actually cousins, okay? They're, you know, maybe two sides of a coin. They go together. That's joy and laughter, all right? Joy and laughter. So with the first one, we're going to be turning, if you will, to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is before the book of Job. Now, back when I first got saved and was learning the books of the Bible, and sometimes it seems like just a few weeks ago because I can still get them confused. Nehemiah, it sounds like a prophetic book. That ought to be one of the little minor prophets at the back of the Old Testament. But it's not. It's before the book of Job, so that can help you get there. So Nehemiah, we're looking at chapter 8, considering this matter of joy. Nehemiah, chapter 8, I'm going to begin at verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Here it is. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. There's a great little chorus song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'd attempt to sing it, but it's been years and would maybe probably would butcher it. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. there is strength for us as one of God's people by having his joy. Now, his joy means not the kind of joy that the world can give. Okay? Not the kind of satisfaction and pleasure that you can get from things that you do, but the joy of the Lord is that inner peace, that inner satisfaction, that inner contentment that gives you joy. Now, a lot of times we will use joy and happiness, and the Bible talks about happiness, okay? So it's not, nothing wrong with being happy. But joy Okay, though again, that's another one of them cousins of happiness, just the same as laughter is. But here we're talking about joy. And he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. My, I can hear that little chorus going through my mind. And so let's move now to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're going to look at verse 11. Because it's in Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Okay, the words of the Lord is light to my feet and direction for our path. And the Lord will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. So this joy that the Bible talks about that God has, this is a satisfaction that God has, and that's a joy that comes from a relationship with Him. Now let's see one of God's rejoicings in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62 and verse 5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. God has joy. And God experiences joy. So that when we talk about having joy, it's a natural thing. We're made in the image of God. Another one is in Jeremiah. This time, Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah 32 and 41. Jeremiah 42 and 1. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. God rejoices over doing us good. It makes God happy to do us good. And I guess maybe somebody's thinking, well, I like to make God happy. You know, He can just do me more good. That was Jeremiah 32 and verse 41. Yeah, 32, 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Now, one last verse. And this is in the book of Zephaniah, and that is one of those minor prophets near the end of the Old Testament, Zephaniah. We're going to look at Zephaniah chapter 3. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, we read these words, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." This is God doing this. This is God having joy. There are scriptures that tell us that we should have joy. That we can have joy in the following of the Lord and our relationship with Him. But in this verse, it says, He will rejoice over thee with joy. And He will rest in His love. And He will joy over thee with singing. God joys over us with singing. Singing is such a significant part of our relationship with God. I was going to say of our worship with God, and it is indeed, singing is a significant part of worshiping God. You go back, good night, how many people back when they were wandering in the wilderness and had the tabernacle, how many people was it that God, their whole job was just to be singing? And all through the Old Testament, we read of people that what their job was in serving the Lord was in singing. Now, when we have a choir, it's a volunteer choir. And in most churches, even some larger ones in Bible-based fundamental church circles, even larger churches of say 1,000 or more people, even their choirs are volunteer choirs. But I do know that there are some churches that have paid choirs. And you know, my immediate reaction is, what? Paying people to sing? God did. Okay, the job of many of his people that traveled in the wilderness, what their work was, some, it was to carry the skins that covered, okay, the ark, and others carried the furniture, and they carried all kinds of things, and that was their work. And we look at it and we say, yeah, that was work. But God said, these are going to be the singers. When David would go out to battle, there were times where he'd have the singers with him on the battlefield. Well, you see, that takes care of that. Anybody that's against somebody that goes in the military, and what's their job? Well, they serve in the Army Band. You know, they serve in the Fort Dix Glee Club or whatever. You know, and we say, well, what kind of work is that? The kind that God gave to many of his people and his servants. Amen. The kind that King David had. Yep. And other kings, okay? So singing is a significant part. But here in Nehemiah or Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, he will rejoice. God will joy over us with singing. I'm not quite sure. Does that mean God is doing the singing? Or just he rejoices over us and so he likes there to be singing about us? I'm not quite sure how to understand that. And you say, well, why aren't you sure? Because that thought just came to me now. And I didn't have time to research it, okay? And so if you're wondering the same thing, go check it out and let me know. But he will, and this one, he will rest in his love. God says, God will rest in his, God's love. Isn't that something? We know that we're to rest in the love of God. We are to, I like to think of it as if God were behind us, Jesus, with his outstretched arms. And when we're facing trouble, you know, we need to walk close to the Lord. We need to live close to the Lord so that when trial and troubles come, that we can just fall back in to the arms of Jesus. Okay? So the one song in the hymn book, Sheltered in the Arms of the Lord. We can just fall back on. But see, a lot of people don't live that close to the Lord. They don't live close enough that when trouble comes, they have to turn around and see, you know, for him to catch up or for them to run back to get close to him. You know, we ought to just stay so close that when trouble comes, we can just fall into the arms of the Lord. And God tells us that he is resting in his love. And the joy is expressed with singing. All right, now that's joy. We've seen scriptures about joy. Now we're going to go to the comparable part, and that is God laughs. Okay? God laughs. Now, the context determines the use of laugh. Because when you look up the word laugh, it can be used to deride. It can be used to make merry. Laughter can be used to mock. It can be used as rejoicing or scorn. You've heard it said already, they laughed him to scorn. Okay? So the context determines how laughter is used. Now we'll go to Psalm 2, the book of Psalms, right in the very beginning, Psalm 2. And we're looking at the fourth verse. Psalm 2, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens, that be God, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now, he's laughing, and he clarifies it. The Lord shall have them in derision. So here, laughter is used so as to deride them. And he makes it very clear that's his intention of laughing. He's laughing at them, not with them or about them. Yeah, God laughs. And just like for us, laughter can insinuate different emotions. That's the case here. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. In Psalm 37 and verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Again, the Lord laughing at him. Not a laughter of merriment, but a laughter of mockery, of deriding. But God laughs. All right, now we'll look at one more scripture, and this is in Proverbs. If you'll turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're looking in verse 26, where again we read, I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. So again, God is using laughter, not as a merriment of a rejoicing, but rather as a mocking. God laughs. We know that God joys in us being his children. We know that God joys in our following him. And we know that he expresses that in laughter here in a sense or a form of judgment. Now, this devotional that I'm about to read from combines these two emotions of joy and laughter. It's a devotion from Love Worth Finding. That's the radio television ministry of Pastor Adrian Rogers, who is now with his Lord in heaven. But the Saturday devotional was about joy. And he wrote there are three things that animals don't do that humans do. Okay, the first thing, animals don't blush. Mark Twain once wryly observed, and I quote Mark Twain, man's the only animal, referring to man as an animal, we don't agree with that, I know, but man's the only animal who can blush, or needs to. Huh? Or needs to. And then Pastor Rogers goes on and says, animals don't cry. Animals don't cry. Some do. Oh, yeah. What's that?
Seals do.
Seals do. Oh, wow. We just animals, some animals cry. We'd have to go into animalology to figure out what that is that they're doing, okay? And well, here's one. Oh, no, I know. Oh, jeez. Animals don't laugh.
Hyenas. Hold on a second.
For those of you listening in, we just had one of our young men talk about hyenas. And of course, we talk about laughing hyenas. You know, you guys are really ruining this message. I'm still not convinced that animals cry like you and I cry, okay? And I know a hyena is not laughing. He's I don't know what that is that he does, but he's getting ready for the kill. What Pastor Rogers goes on to say is this tells me that man, who is made in the image of God, reflects the character of God, and God is a God of joy. Then he combines the two, and as he goes on and he says, laughter is a gift from God. There's nothing wrong with laughter. And the reason he says that is because there are, you know, there's an awful lot of sour puss Christians. Christians who wake up sucking on pickles and they just cannot find anything to smile about or to laugh about for sure. I mean, being unhappy is their goal and they achieve it. But there's nothing wrong with laughter. As a matter of fact, laughter comes innately. You don't have to teach children to laugh. You have to teach children when not to laugh, when it might not be appropriate, okay? And if you really have the joy of the Lord in your heart, it's going to show up on your face, okay? The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Not the joy of money in the checkbook. There's no need to be unhappy about that, okay? Anybody get unhappy about money in your chat? I didn't think so. I knew I was safe with that one. And so, you know, there's a variety of things that we might be happy about. But listen, the joy of the Lord in our heart, that's the main thing. And that's the thing that can last. And it will show on our face. So in his emotions, God has no mood swings. Yeah, let me repeat that, okay? In his emotions, God has no mood swings. Now I understand. What's the old saying that we have, and then he got up on the wrong side of bed? Well, you know the solution for that, don't you? Push the bed against another wall. Of course, you know, there's times where things happen in life and we are but people, and we are affected by the happenings of a day. But I had a fellow tell me one time, you know, you choose if you're going to be happy or sad.
That's right.
You choose if you're going to be happy or sad. Now, there's some events that might cause us to be sad, but we can choose to not be sad. We can choose to not allow that natural instinctive response to take place. We can control it. What did we read? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the engine broke and blew up in the car. Okay, the washing machine quit. And I went to the refrigerator to get something cold to drink and it stopped working. Now, those are pretty bad happenings, okay? No doubt, you know, they're going to put a dark cloud over anybody's day, but do we not still have the Lord?
Amen.
Yeah. Do we still not have the Lord? Is he still not our strength? Oh, I'm always hesitant to make such statements. Because the arch enemy of my soul, Satan himself, would delight in being able to make me eat those words. He would delight in something happening that would keep me from doing that. But listen, let me tell you something. Something just came to mind. Yesterday, I did a good bit of yard work. I about killed myself with what I did. I was out there from about 1 o'clock until 8 o'clock doing outdoor work. Yeah, and when I came in and crashed, it was literal. I crashed. And, but at one point, my wife said to me, she was watching me out the window. And I don't remember what it was anymore, but something went wrong. And she said, you know, Roger, you didn't blow up.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, she's right. And then she said this, because she was usually around when that sort of reaction would come. And she said, maybe it must be me. I said, nah, it can't be you. Well, then she went in, and some time went by, and she came out onto the deck where I was working then, and she was watching, and something went wrong, and I said, oh, you know, and had a reaction. Now, it wasn't an in-the-flesh, old Roger reaction, okay? That's like your old nature reactions, okay? Same as mine, yeah, okay. So it wasn't that kind of, but I had a reaction. And then she said, see? It is me. But you know, I really felt encouraged by that. That I had not reacted as she remembered me doing. As a matter of fact, my reactions were usually so not good. Okay, notice how you want to avoid the word bad, you see. My reactions were so not good that, you know, and I enjoyed having her just around when I was doing. Sometimes she'd have to hold this or, you know, get me that and all, but mostly I just liked having her around. And then after a while, she didn't come around. Now, I don't know how many years we're going back now. And I said to her, I said, how come you don't just hang on? She said, well, I get tired of hearing you throw tools down and slam doors and just react. Okay. And so I lost my observer, okay, because of my action. So when I say to you, it was really an encouragement when she said, you didn't react the way you used to react. I felt really good about that, okay? And then, of course, within 10 minutes, again, and it wasn't a major thing, but I said, oh, nuts, you know. And I reacted. Now, I'm sure any of you watching on Facebook, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sure your sanctification is so thorough and across the board that you're just sitting there listening, dumbstruck. We're going to strike them here somewhere. And that the preacher would say those things. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, when it comes time to pray to God, you may as well tell him how you're feeling because he already knows. And I share these kind of things, an illustration. And I've told you before, you tell me some of your things and then I'll illustrate with them. And I'll say, you know, John Mark told me he does this and this and this, you know. But no, I use myself as the illustration. But it also, it puts truth to the fact. When I tell you as a preacher, now look, I'm not just preaching at you. These are things that I too have to learn to live, okay? And so when I let you know some of these things, I believe it puts reality into that statement when I make it. It certainly is part of the intention. There are two wonderful things concerning God and his emotions. First, He understands our emotions since he created us with the ability to feel them. And secondly, his emotions flow from his perfection. Ours don't, his do. And God will never have a bad day. Think about that. God will never have a bad day. When he's angered, it's at sin and it's at wrong. It's never like us where we get angry because some dumb thing fell over when we're trying to work on it, okay? He will never change his feelings toward us, his redeemed. Think about that. No matter what we do. Okay, I remember now, it was part of a sort of a grill work, like about 18 inches wide and about 5 feet high. And I was screwing that onto the side of the porch deck. And it didn't stay where it was supposed to until I got a screw into it and it fell over, okay? And that's what brought my reaction. Listen, you may fall over, but it isn't going to bring a bad reaction from God. His feelings toward us don't change. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through these emotions. And I pray, dear Father, that you will help us. We pray, dear Father, we want to be so completely under your control that our emotions would not be according to our mood. That our emotions, dear Father, would not be expressed in ways that they should not be. Truly, Father, when we say we want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that conformity would involve the expression of our emotions. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for watching. Appreciate it. And we hope you'll come again next service.